And welcome back to Coast, another hour to go of open lines. Did you see the survey today that most people distrust the media? They don't believe them at all. Talk radio, though, is pretty strong. So we're going to come back and take your calls on this show next. Okay, back with you. Another hour to go here of open lines. Plus, share with us your stories of how you almost died. I think a lot of people have gone through situations where they were pulled out of it by some miracle. Something happened. There's a reason why you need to be saved, but share those stories with us. Okay, let's go to the phones again. We shall pick it up by going to Janine in Humboldt, California, first-time caller. Hi, Janine.
Hi, George. How you doing?
I'm wonderful. How about you?
I'm doing great this morning.
Good. What's going on?
Hey, I wanted to tell you I love you on Beyond Belief. That's where I first started watching you.
Well, great. We have fun. We go up there every month. We tape 4 TV shows, and then we go right back to wherever we are coming from.
I am a regular Gaia subscriber, and I encourage all Coast to Coast listeners to subscribe to Gaia.
Now, do you watch the shows just off your computer, or do you hook it up so it's on the flat screen?
I just use my computer and my devices and my iPad.
Okay.
I haven't got an Apple TV yet. I don't know how to get it on TV yet.
There's some little apparatuses that you can use. Roku, for example, you hook it up to the flat screen, and you can get the shows up that way. But
that's cool.
Talk to somebody who knows that stuff out there, and they'll help you.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Hey, I have a lot of really interesting stories. I'm only 56 years old, but I've had a very interesting life thus far.
Give me your favorite one.
Okay, well, the one you called about, the one you asked about first, was the near-death experience. And it wasn't so much that I was pulled out. This was back in 1974 when I was 13. And I had the flu really, really badly. And I just was ready to be done with it. I just wanted to die.
Oh, no.
And there was a light on in my room. And I remember when I saw that, I kind of lifted out of my body the way you come out of a mummy bag.
Yep.
But I didn't even get all the way out. And I know I was between this world and another, because I couldn't see the light that was on in my room. I just, I could see this dark mistiness. And I was only about partway out of my body when I heard this firm but gentle voice say, "No, go back. You haven't finished." And I just sunk back into my body and sobbed.
Aren't you glad you came back?
Absolutely. I don't regret it at all.
Hey, what do you think of the scientists who are beginning to think that we're in just some kind of computer simulation matrix?
I don't know that. I mean, I think that all of us need to take the red pill. It's time to take the red pill, folks. But I think that life is real, but how do you define real?
I think it's real, too. Somebody wanted me to have a debate on the existence of God. That might not be a bad show at all. Let's take another call, and then we'll go to Tom and see what kind of message he has for us this half hour. Rob in Indiana, welcome to the program. Hey, Robbie, go ahead.
Hello, George. Thanks for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
You had made a comment a little earlier about, and I've heard you many times, how people are getting crazy.
Yes.
And I do escalations and advanced technical support for a large company. And over the last 4 years, we've been seeing people calling in becoming more irate and just crazy. And
yeah.
When you said that you've been noticing it the last 4 years, it kind of triggered something that I wonder if you think it could be related, the whole Mayan calendar in December 2012, where instead of the end of the world and the apocalypse, it was going to be a spiritual shift. And what we may be experiencing is an upheaval, all because of this spiritual shift going on.
There's definitely an upheaval that people are sensing. I think that we are still headed for some kind of major calamity. And I think the human body somehow is picking up on it. And all these people who are acting strange and weird and uptight are picking up, and they're probably tuned into it more than other people, and they can't take it.
Right. And then you see it in even like the election cycle this year, both candidates.
It's everywhere.
It just seems like negativity is coming out everywhere.
I would love to see a campaign where the candidates say, hey, this person's a pretty good person, you know, an American and cares about you. I think I can do a better job, but I wonder what would happen without negative campaigning.
Yeah, there'd be no campaigning in this cycle if it wasn't negative.
No, not at all. Hey, thanks. Tom, what do you have for us in the tweet and text world?
This is the text world from Melissa in Kentucky. George, I've heard it talked about before.
How come you didn't start by saying yo?
Because Melissa didn't say yo.
Oh, all right.
She would like to know. She says she's heard it before, but she wants to know why you think people would freak out if aliens made themselves known to us.
Some people would. I think those people who listen to our show probably would not freak out because they'd say, I expected this. I knew this. But I think generally people who aren't in the know would go kooky. They'd go crazy thinking about extraterrestrial life out there. I just don't think they could handle it.
Because their perception is that they're evil.
Well, that's regardless of the perception, out. I just think that they would just freak out.
Well, if they thought they were good, I don't think
they'd
freak out.
You know, that survey that was taken by the Brookings Institute a long time ago said that people cannot handle the fact that there would be an extraterrestrial presence. I don't think that's changed.
What if they thought they were good, though, and they were coming down to totally help us?
I don't know. I don't think they would change. I think they'd be afraid.
It's too bad.
Not the people who listen to us.
No.
But
no.
Other people out there. All right. Thanks, Tom.
Okay.
Next up, let's go to Lori in Kissimmee, Florida. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm right okay. Thanks.
Good. Yeah, first of all, I agree with Tom, except for the whole alien thing. Well, you never know where it's coming from. But there's something major going to happen. All these disasters and catastrophes, that's definitely...
You can feel it.
Oh, you can feel it.
You can sense it. You've got problems with Iran. You've got the whack job in North Korea doing what he... There's just something going on here.
And it's every day. I mean,
it's constant. Yep.
Listen, my friend Buck Wolf from the Huffington Post, I'm sure you know.
Yep.
Hi. I have a near-death experience for you.
Fire away.
I was 17. I was riding a bike on a major highway, and I got hit by two cars.
Oh.
Yeah, the reason was I got hit by one, and then I got thrown into the middle of a path and got run over by the other one.
What happened to you?
Some guy was trying to pick up a hitchhiker, and he didn't see me, and he hit me.
Oh.
I flew in the air, and let's just say I broke everything but my eyelashes.
I bet. How long were you laid up?
Well, the doctors told my dad I wouldn't make it through the night. And I was on a respirator for like 3 weeks. But the weird thing was, the night that I was going to surgery was the night that it happened. I didn't hear the voice in my ear, but I felt it. And it basically said, just let go and trust me. You're going to make it. And I figured if any time I was going to believe in God, it was going to be right then and there.
Oh, you got that right. Were you in excruciating pain?
You know what's funny? I was when I got hit. I was when I hit the ground. But ever since then, I don't know whether it was because I was so drugged up that, I mean, I didn't even know where I was half the time.
Oh, I believe it. Jeez. Did you?
Did
you see yourself getting hit? I mean, did you see it coming?
It was almost like slow motion. if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And I flew up in the air. It was almost like I flew like 10 feet up in the air in slow motion.
Do you ever have nightmares about the accident?
No, not really. The weird thing was, the worst thing that I think that I can remember is 9/11. That I have nightmares about every night because I was in the city at the time, or I was on my way into the city at the time. But I took a later train that day. For some weird reason, I was like, don't take the 807, take the 819, take your time. And sure enough, I'm glad I did, because if I took the earlier train, I wouldn't have been able to get out.
No.
Thank God, missing the planes hit the buildings. But the weird thing was, 2 weeks before, I was riding on the highway with a friend of mine, and I turned and I looked at the Twin Towers, because I always do, and I said, wouldn't that be awful if those things fell? And I don't know why I said
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know. I felt like it was all my fault.
My daughter, Wendy, had a dream that she talked about weeks before this, and we didn't really put two and two together. I thought it was like a volcano. But
wow.
she talked about being in the middle of a huge metropolitan city. And she said, Dad, all I could see was ash falling from the sky, and I was standing in about a foot of ash. And she said, it was weird. And we thought it was like a volcano happened and hit right. like Seattle or something like that.
Oh, my. How old was she?
At that time, let's see, 2001, and she was born in 1970. She was about 25, 30 years old, something like that.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you, people do have that sixth sense.
Yeah.
I thought I was saying something stupid, but 2 weeks later, it turned out not to be so stupid. But I'm telling you, there's ever since then, this whole world's been going to hell.
And are you all healed up from the accident?
Believe it or not, yes. I actually feel better than I ever did. I was really kind of lazy before the accident. I didn't have much energy. And, I'm not going to lie and say I don't have, like, aches here, pains there. But believe me, I could live with it.
Did you have broken legs and arms and everything when that happened?
I broke every bone in my body except for my head. I broke my left side from my shoulder down.
Unbelievable. Rib cage?
Yep.
Everything crushed?
Pelvic bone, everything, you name it. Lacerated all my insides.
Tell me the guys, the people who hit you stayed. They didn't leave, right?
Believe it or not, no, they didn't. The people that ran over me said they couldn't feel anything when they ran me over. But the person that hit me stayed. The kid that he was trying to pick up, the hitchhiker, called the ambulance. I mean, if it wasn't for them, forget about it.
Oh, it'd be history for you. Now, when were you able to return to normal activities, going back to school and stuff like that?
I was in a body cast for 3 months at home, and then I was... No, I'm sorry. I was in traction for 3 months in the hospital, and then I was a body cast for 3 months at home. So I would say it happened in May, Thanksgiving, around after
Thanksgiving. Did you miss a year of school?
No, actually, believe it or not, I only missed 6 months. I had a tutor come and tutor me for like a month, and then I was able to go back to school, and
wow.
Man, was that the greatest day of my life.
What willpower you have.
Well, it scared me to death. The funny thing was, I felt worse for my father than I did for myself. Because they told me I was going to die that night. And basically, I heard he fainted. And I would have rather been in my shoes than his shoes any day.
Jeez. All right, Lori, I'm glad you're around. Next up, let's go to Charlie in Arizona. Hey, Charlie, go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hi, Charlie. What's up?
I didn't know whether to call or not, but I needed to share this. I've almost got killed so many times, it's not funny. But it's a two-part thing, but it's very brief, and I'll start now.
Go ahead.
My 10th birthday, we were in Oak Creek Canyon, just north of Sedona, and it was time to head to back to my house and for the party. You know, your 18th birthday. And I jumped in my car. I was by myself, and everybody else was in the vehicle in front of me. And we were speeding, going way fast for that condition. And if you've ever been to Oak Creek Canyon, you know it's a very narrow, twisting road going up to Flagstaff.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 seconds before I went around this, just before I went around this corner, God said to me, put your seatbelt on. And I didn't wear my seatbelt.
You never did, did you?
You're bulletproof, 10 feet tall.
Yeah.
But I did. And 3 seconds later, I had my choice between head-on with a Winnebago or T-boning a Rambler. I stood on the brakes and took the Rambler.
Yeah, I would have done that, too.
Okay, well, yeah. I mean, and I
without it's not belt, not much of a choice, but you had
without to. The bell, I would have went through the window. But flash forward about 18 years, and I was in Flagstaff. A friend of mine showed up in the morning that happened to live in Sedona. And he said, hey, Charlie, come check out my new car. And there's a dirt road that had head east of Flagstaff out to Walnut Canyon where it hit the interstate and came back in on Route 66. And that whole trip, I felt terrible. The seatbelt would work, and I wanted to put it on so bad.
Oh, no.
And, I had never felt that,
tense.
Anxious about anything in my life. We finally got back to the pavement, and, I started to settle down, and about 1 mile from the overpass, there was a big cinder hill where they had a cinder quarry, and they had these semi trucks with a dual belly dump trailers.
Okay.
So it was a big rig. And old 66, that's Route 66.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same road it's been for decades and decades. And we're cruising along at like 55, and there was a empty cinder truck coming up to the turnoff to the cinder hill, and
here
off
we go.
To our side was another one, and the guy was driver was standing outside his cab on our side, and apparently the dude that was coming towards us did not see us.
So he
cut us off. He totally cut off our lane, and my friend, for the grace of God, we had to leave the roadway immediately, fishtailed between however long those vehicles were, and when we hit the pavement, we were probably at a 45-degree angle, and that almost wrecked us, because when, you hit pavement doing 45-degree angle, it jumped. Oh,
you should have been driven right into it.
Four times, and we got back to my house, and I called the police, and I told the lady what happened. And she goes, well, did you get the number of the truck? It's like, no, why don't you ask that guy with the white beard that was sliding towards my window? Maybe he knows. But we went back up there the next day, and there couldn't have been more than 10 feet of dirt that we fishtailed between for,
You lucked out. You have come back from the dead a couple times. On our next Coast to Coast program, Dr. Joanne Conaway joins us from criticalhealthnews.com. Get ready to make some calls, and we'll help you out there. And then Leslie McCork joins us as we talk about Mercury in retrograde. Okay, welcome back to Coast, back with our final segment here. Let us get the calls. And by the way, we will again have complete coverage election night on November 8th for 5 straight hours. A number of guests will be coming on. It's one of those few nights you got to devote yourself to what's going on worldwide like this. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to cover it from morning, noon, and night, but when we're on the air, it'll be 5 straight hours for you, and the phone lines will be open. You can participate. I happen to think it's going to be a long night, but we shall see. Let us now go back to the phones. Let us go to Veronica in Irvine, California. Hey, Veronica, welcome to the program.
Hi, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay, great. Okay, I have a story. It's true. It was when I first moved to Irvine. My son turned 2, and I decided to take him out for dinner at a Mexican restaurant that was down the street. And I still pushed him in a stroller because he was kind of small.
Yeah.
And better to handle. So we had ordered and we went to go sit down. And I was standing at where I wanted to sit. And across and above, a guy was working on one of those great big Mexican-style Mediterranean. They're really heavy with wrought iron chandelier-type light fixtures.
Okay.
And a voice told me, and it was like a still, small voice, and along with, like, intuition was telling me, go all the way to the end of the aisle and sit. I thought, whoa, okay. So I just walked, pushed the stroller all the way down and sat down, waiting for our food, sat my son in a high seat, and he would have been sitting right there in the aisle on in the high seat. A girl came in and sat at that table where I was going to be sitting with my son. The chandelier swung down, and it would have taken his head off.
Oh.
And it landed smack in front of her, and I was in shock. I'm like, oh. I just stood there with my sat with my mouth open, and I said, are you all right? And she goes, yeah, it didn't even touch me. But it would have knocked my son's head off.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I know. He's 26 now. And I thought about that, and I said, it was probably the devil trying to kill him. Or I think I know why.
Well, I don't know if it was the devil trying to kill him, or if it wasn't an angel trying to save him. Think of it that way.
You always blame everything on the devil, right?
You got it. Hey, thanks. Appreciate that. Let's take Barbara in Los Angeles now. Hey, Barb, go ahead.
Yeah, I had a suggestion for a fun show to have voiceover actors from various cartoon shows come on and tell their experiences.
Yeah.
And my favorite one would be June Foray from Rocky and Bullwinkle. She's still alive.
Really? Wonder how old she is.
Well, I know she was a radio actress in the 40s before she ever did Rocky and Bullwinkle. So she's probably in her 90s at least.
That would be kind of cool. Now, what part did she play?
Oh, in Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yeah.
She played Rocky.
She did play Rocky?
Yeah, she did.
How about that? Hey, Barb, hold on for a second, because I want to go to Annie, but I have a theory. Annie in Alabama. Hey, Annie, welcome to the show.
I've had numerous near-death experiences, but the most exciting was when I had a cardiac arrest. I was sitting there taking my blood pressure, and I had zero blood pressure, and I got up, grabbed my purse, locked the door, went out the door, took my phone, and I met the ambulance on the street. And I don't know how many seconds I was without any pulse, because I didn't check it but one time. But I had absolutely no pulse.
You lucked out. Okay, Annie, I want you to stay on for a second. Stay on, because I'm convinced that you and Barbara might be the same person, and I have to figure this out. So, hi, Barbara. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm not the same person. I was born and raised in California.
This was caused by my sodium and my potassium being so low.
So, Annie, say hi to Barbara.
Hello, Barbara. My mother's name was Barbara.
Hi, Annie.
Are you sure you two aren't the same and calling on a different line to trick me?
We're different.
Okay,
women,
1, 2, 3, let's say hello. 1, 2, 3, hello. Say it when I say it. 1, 2, 3. Hello. Well, come on now.
See? See, she's not talking when you talk. You're the same person.
Talk when I talk, girl. Come on.
Okay, I'll talk when you talk.
Talk. Okay, we proved it.
All right. Thanks, you two. Appreciate you being on the program. Well, there goes that theory. Tom, you got a text for didn't they sound the same?
You're killing me, yeah. This is a tweet from Shine Bright. George.
You know where I got that from, by the way. Remember Tom Likas?
I knew you were going to say that because I heard him do that once.
He did something. He used to call into some talk shows. And Tom's a great talk show host all by himself. And he would call into a show that never got calls. And he called twice, and he was on hold on one, and he was on the air on the other. And he's talking to the person. He says, "Hello, this is Bob Smith. Go ahead." And Tom changed his voice, and he said, "You never get any calls." And the guy says, "No, we get all kinds of calls." He says, "Nah, you don't get any calls. I can always get right through." He said, "Sure." And he hung up on him. He says, "Let me go to the next line." And he picks it up, and it was Tom on the other line going, "See, I told you, you never get any calls."
Funny.
I'd love it.
Yeah, he does a lot of fun stuff. This one is from Shine Bright. She says, "George, George, George, three Georges, do you believe in telepathy?"
Of course. I believe in telepathy. My aunt Shafika,
yes,
Caregula, who's not with us anymore,
no,
devoted her entire career into telepathy and mind control and things like that. It's real.
I believe it is. So Rocky the Squirrel, so you know, is 98.
Why don't you try to get her?
I don't know if she'd stay up this late. I could try.
You could give it a try.
Yeah, of course.
You never know.
Maybe she's listening.
You never know. Okay, let's go to the Mojave Desert out there in California. We've got Mel now. Hey, Mel, go ahead.
Good evening, or morning, rather, Mr. Norrie.
Hello, sir.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
First-time caller, long-time listener. You still want NDE experiences?
Oh, yeah, I sure do.
Well, let's see. In 2 days, it'll be exactly 1 year that I went into cardiac arrest.
Oh, God.
Out of nowhere.
Tell me the symptoms.
Well, I can't remember anything about it.
Really?
Yes, I was evidently not feeling well and called my daughter and asked her to go to the hospital with me.
You knew something was wrong, though.
Well, evidently, because if I'm going to the hospital, something's hurt.
Something's really wrong.
Yeah, because I'm pretty stubborn that way.
Yeah. So
we were driving on our way, and then I guess I grabbed my chest and said, "Oh, no," and that was it. My heart completely stopped. She grabbed the steering wheel and, of course, reached over with her foot and got the brakes. I was driving, by the way.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's my kind of luck, you know.
Yeah.
At any rate, she gets the car stopped. She's pretty frantic, dialing 911 and trying to wave cars down. And evidently a gentleman stopped, pulled me out of the car, and was giving me CPR. And the ambulance got there within 5 minutes. My heart still wasn't beating on its own. They loaded me in. They shocked me. Still couldn't get it started. Raised the electrode up a bit and shocked me again. Got it started. Got me to the hospital.
Did you revive? Do you remember that part?
No, I don't remember any of it
at all.
And all they did is get my heart started. They didn't get me conscious again. And then got me to the hospital, and then it stopped again. And then they shocked me 4 more times in the ER before it got started again. And then I woke up 2 weeks later in a hospital.
Well, now, what did they finally do for you afterwards?
Well, they ended up doing surgery. They found out. They asked me if I was having any symptoms prior to the event, you know. And I said, no, short of breath, you know, et cetera, nothing. And I even had an EKG done within 6 months prior, and it showed totally normal. They said, though, they did one of those, with the dye and whatnot to light your heart up so they can get a better look. And the main left artery was 100% blocked. The other 3 to 4 were 75% blocked. And they said they didn't understand I was getting any blood flow.
Jeez. So you had bypass surgery, I take it?
Yeah, quadruple bypass.
Oh, wow. And you're doing well now?
Evidently so. I feel really good and everything. And
how long's it been?
It's been exactly 1 year and 2 days from now.
Oh, good. Just keep checking it every couple of years. Go in and get these new scans they've got and get those arteries checked out. Where did they take the artery from, the arm or the leg?
There's one inside of your chest cavity that goes to the mammalian gland, you know, to your chest. Males don't need it, of course. So they use that one that's inside the chest for the main, and then they take the other ones out from the leg.
Good. Well, you just watch what you eat and take supplements. Take turmeric.
I'm trying.
And, take what else your doctor prescribes and do your thing.
Yeah, I'll have to call in again, I want to talk to you about the convention you had down in the desert down there. There's a lot of interesting stories in that area down there.
Yeah, we'll be going down again next year, too.
Try to make it out there next time.
Okay, all right, you take care of yourself. Let's take a few more calls. Chris is in Denver. Hey, Chris, welcome to the program.
Yo, 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 George.
Hi there.
I
just left Denver. Just left last weekend. I love it. The weather was amazing.
Yeah, well, that's why I can't leave. So I love it here. Born and raised. But just to get to the point here, I'm not too familiar or, you know, too sure how familiar you are with the Montauk Project. But there's this new series on Netflix that just came out, and it's called Stranger Things. And it's basically, to me, I just found this crazy coincidence between these experiments, basically mind experiments and stuff like that. And so I was wondering if anybody had brought that to your attention yet at all. And if you're familiar with that, the Montauk Project.
Montauk, I am. The TV series, no, I didn't know about that.
Yeah, so it's got, like, Winona Ryder in it. It's a Netflix original series, but it goes into a whole thing about another dimension and somebody, like, bringing out this beast, kind of just like the Montauk Project, you know.
Do you like the show?
Yeah, I loved it. I binge watched it. So, I did like it, but it made me think about that. And I'm 33, and I read that book when I was like 13, and like I didn't understand it really then, but now I'm like, holy crap, you know, I can't, like, this sounds so familiar, and I just wonder if it's government, like, desensitizing us to...
Well, it might be, because Montauk was all government. The entire thing was government, to be sure. Let's take a couple more quick calls and wrap it up for the night. We go next to Helen in Houston, Texas, east of the Rockies. Hello, Helen. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
George, I can tie three of the stories that you've asked about today, and I may draw like a Texan, but I can spin the tail like a New Yorker.
Well, I love that. Go ahead.
Here we go. Two 16-year-olds were supposed to go to a church meeting, and the young man, his daddy had just made a good crop, and they were ranchers and farmers, so the daddy bought three brand-new 57 Chevrolets. So he picked me up in one of the brand new Chevys. It happened to be his mother's. She hadn't even driven it yet. So we went down on a road near Edna, Texas, and as we were going, we saw a flock of buzzards.
Buzzards.
And we looked, and one of those buzzards flew right into our windshield. I screamed and got a mouthful of glass.
Oh, my God.
So we had to push that bird out in its intro.
Oh, how big was that thing?
Well, buzzards, I would say it was about anywhere from a 5 to 10 pounder.
Yeah, those are pretty good size.
Yes, they were. So we drove the car back to our hometown, out to the country, and we picked up his new 57 and drove in. So his daddy, they had to take care of that car windshield. Never told my parents, but some of my classmates knew about it. So down the road, we marry. It's going to be 59 years in December, and we're farming, ranching, and also my husband works at Johnson Spacecraft Center there.
Oh, does he?
He's working two jobs, and I was working two jobs, four children between us. So we were at the auction barn, and my husband was off at another job when I was checking out, helping the accountant there. And I mentioned something about needing some more acreage, and so these two guys that I knew said, well, we've got some over here. We'll come show you. Okay. Well, I knew them, so we go out in the to the field. They were showing me the different areas, and then they start getting frisky.
Oh, man, you don't want that to happen. Hey, talking about frisky, the clock has got us. That didn't tie in at all, did it? For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.